Welcome to the Global Citizen Life podcast. Today on the show, we have Andrew Jernigan. Thank you very much, Andrew, for joining us today.
My pleasure, and welcome everyone to another great episode.
So, Andrew, let's just dive right in. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your kind of expat path and where you are now?
Oh, I got the bug for this lifestyle. Got infected back in 1996. And, I was a freshman in college, did a Christmas of service in Amsterdam. And that was Christmas break, freshman year, to where I could serve soup in front of the Grand Central Station in Amsterdam, cold weather, and take, a lot of the girls on the college group would take sandwiches and do manicures and pedicures in the red light district late at night, 2 in the morning. And that was such a global city. It was my first time outside my home country, which back then my home country was the US. Now it's the world. And, I realized I went back to school. Some transition came in the future, moved back to Amsterdam. It's like, I want to live there. It was there that I was writing in my journal. I said, there's no country I don't want to visit. And I want to marry someone from another country other than my own. And it happened. Fast forward a few years later, I married someone from Brazil who wanted to practice medicine in an African country. So my move to Brazil was quite a stretch for me. I grew up in the Southeast in the US, Birmingham, Alabama. So exposure to Europe was one thing, but then Brazil, I'd never read, never been exposed to Brazilians. Fabulous, warm culture, climate, people. And, I've spent a number of years living in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, and twice living in Rio de Janeiro. But her desire to serve in Africa took us to Ghana for about 4 years. And to Mozambique for some extended stays. Of course, Mozambique, they do speak some Portuguese in places, so that helped. We have, as a family, later with kids, lived and worked across 5 continents. So it's kind of like with kids, you can't have favorites. It's that wrong question to say, oh, what's your favorite place? Don't ask that. The world is too wonderful to have a favorite.
Right.
I know I went a lot further than you asked, but
that's great, because those are some experiences in countries that most people even nowadays don't even go to or visit. So you definitely are the global citizen, living in all of those places. So what did you find were some of the biggest challenges in moving to these different destinations? Because, there's great things about going and moving, but I also like to be completely realistic with the listeners and know it's not just all rainbows and butterflies. Like, there are definitely challenges along the way, some of them a lot harder than others. So what were some of the challenges that you encountered as you were moving abroad? Is there something that really stands out?
We've done this single, I've done it as, unmarried, and then married. When we moved to Ghana, our kids were 3 years and the other one 3 months old. Then we had the next one there. In Liverpool, it was just the two kids when my wife was doing a postgrad there. Some of the challenges, I guess, in any season is community. Because the tendency is to think, okay, this is going to be great. The grass is greener over there. Or
always,
whatever the mind allows you to perceive, that it's going to be, the money's going to go so much further. The food's going to be great. The people are going to be whatever the blank you're filling in.
Right.
And many times that's true. But yet there are things that are beyond that blank that you just filled in, that a lot of times you don't know until you don't know, till you realize you don't know it.
Right.
you don't know that you really do enjoy eating blueberries until you don't have them. You know, I'm thinking
the food.
Something
There's some
silly.
Food moving. It's so true. Sometimes it, right. Sometimes it is the simplest things, the littlest things that we don't even right. think about.
Yes. The habits you have that mm-hmm. are subliminal, that no longer is a habit because you can't go through that drive-thru there. Or you can't do this on Friday night because she's not around to do it with, that friend or he mm-hmm. or, you know, that network. So that's where some of those gaps mm-hmm. have to do with community. So it's not necessarily meeting that friend once a month or once every 6 weeks that you can't do. But also, you don't have the shared experiences with those people that you left behind. They only want the 90-second answer because they can't identify with the 5-minute, 15-minute answer. So then there's that void of, oh no, who am I going to tell? Because I want to process verbally about the great life or the hard life, whichever one it is.
And if they can't relate, they don't know you, they don't know your experience, or they just can't relate at all. Like there's certain right. conversations I have with specific people because other good friends or family, like they just don't understand.
Right. And that's not their fault.
No.
It just is an aspect of the relationship that's no longer there.
Right.
So I think community is one of the biggest things that broadens. You get new people in your life. Sometimes that are become stronger than those that you've had previously because they get the new lifestyle you've taken on, the new mindset that you're walking right. with. But yet, that new relationship is maintained differently because they may only be there for a short period. They may be a slow mat or an expat and move on. You may That's move right. on, which they have pain because you left.
Right.
And then you continue on with Zoom and WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the US it's the thing of what's Zoom and what's, you know, in Canada or in wherever your home country is. Folks may not maintain relationships the way that you now maintain the relationships. The next thing I think that comes to mind, two more things, then I'll toss the ball back to you is for those who are doing this with children, they are introducing the cross-cultural kid or third culture kid dynamic into their world. They may identify with people who are not their original passport mm-hmm. or their host country passport, but a third, which is more a blend of all.
Right.
And say, oh, I miss the airport because everyone is not waving a banner of a passport. They're in transit.
Mm-hmm.
That gives a resilience, but it also has an opportunity. Some kids do well with it, but it gives an opportunity for some kids to need extra guidance because they look at kids that have the same summer camp year after year with their friends, and they didn't have that because their parents chose world schooling or expat life or international assignments or the digital nomad freelance life, whatever
wordage
flavor
that people want to
picked
call
out.
It. Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Because all of our lives have a different slant. Some, the trailing partner may be the digital nomad while the others and more of an international assignee.
Right.
So the kid dynamic is something we have to be aware of that if you've come from a background where counseling and therapy has not been part of your routine, please make it part of your kid's routine.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a parent, we may not have the right words to put with it or be the right one to put those words into it.
Right.
But
and we're experiencing as an adult, mm-hmm. not a child. And if we didn't live that lifestyle, we don't know exactly how they're doing. And part of it, I just as a quick example. So I moved around, and my first move, my daughter was 13, and we moved from Canada to Costa Rica, and she absolutely hated it. She said for a while it was the worst time of her life. And so we have to also know our children, and depending upon age, because one of my best friends, her daughter's best friend ended up moving to Abu Dhabi. So very different than Canada. And they were 15, I think it was. And her best friend, the one who was moving, was so excited. She's like, I'm so excited. It's going to be so great. It's a new adventure, that kind of thing. And my friend's daughter looked at her mom and she said, if you think you're moving, don't you dare. Like, I'm not moving anywhere. I'm not leaving this city.
Right.
And even though they were best friends, completely different thoughts toward moving abroad.
Yes. I know some people listening to this today are thinking, okay, get off kids. I don't have kids. Not going to have kids. My kids are grown. So I'll move to a different topic real quick, because you asked me a question there. And the other thing is that getting access to a membership for telemedicine and mental health therapy sessions, tying back in there, sure, the kids need it, but we also all need it. Going through the things we see car wrecks, we see traumatic things happen, we see the pain of others in a different light, the disparity of wealth. It's really good to be able to get therapy from a distance, whether it's video or voice, and to have a doctor on call, and whether it's doctoroncall.com, you know, droncall.com, or something else, to where it's unlimited telemedicine and prescriptions that can be shipped to you overseas. Because a lot of times, even if you have insurance, you don't want to go to the hospital. It's a different language. So you don't have access to go see a doctor. You may have access, you just don't want to get out and do it. And so that's one thing. The therapy and the telehealth are a couple of things for this lifestyle that I think, from my looking back over the last 28, 29 years of this lifestyle, are some of the things that I value in this.
Right. And even as adults, like, I've lived now in 5 different countries, including my home country of Canada. Mm-hmm. And with each move, even though I've done it so many times now and I'm used to it, but I recognize it. But with each move, I do go through a time where it's great, it's exciting, everything's new. And then as things kind of settle in and you get into your daily routine, then I think, I don't know anybody. I don't know the language. And I do it extreme. I don't know anybody when I move. I don't know the language. And then I think, did I make a mistake? Yeah. I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. How am I going to make friends? And now I'm lonely. And maybe I should move back to one of the other countries. But then I think, no, it's part of the process. And because I've done it so many times, now I recognize that and know that. But for first-time movers, second-time movers, you know, they may not even know. And some people say, well, if you get lonely, why do you move to countries where you don't know anybody? And I say, well, that is part of the process, but many people also get lonely in the country that they've lived in their entire life. So it's always good to have somebody to talk to work your way through, knowing that, you know, there are certain things that are processes, but there's ways to then have help to move through it faster.
That is good. This is, you know, finding those groups. Mm-hmm. Which is not easy. It could be internations in one city, the next town it could be Facebook expat group, the next place it could be
meetup,
you know, remote tribe or something. Yeah, it could be meetup. It could, you just have to take the initiative and say, okay, what's my hobby? Is it you know, is it a sport? Finding that. Right. You know, a friend said, you know, after 7 years of living abroad, he finally found a group of guys he could play football, soccer with. And he was just ecstatic the other day sharing it with me.
Nice. And that brings up a really good point too, that if you're going to move abroad, you know, like, we do need to know ourselves. Like, what do you want as an individual? And as a family, if you're moving with a family, like, what are your hobbies? What activities do you like to do? What kind of lifestyle do you like? What what types of things when it comes to political issues and stability or how they live compared to what type of religious countries do you go to or the variety of religion in a country and acceptance and all of those things? Because sometimes people think, you know, oh, I just don't like it here. Like, I'll just use Canada for myself, for example. Oh, I don't like Canada and I just want to move. I want something different. Okay, great. But what do I want? Like, I knew one was weather. Like, that's a huge thing for me. I don't like cold. I don't like winter. Snow, I'm not a big fan of. So it's like, I don't want to move to live anywhere really that has winter like Canada. I don't mind some temperature changes. I love the beach. I love outdoor activities. I like hiking. I do a little bit of photography. I like going to live theater concerts, like kind of jazz where there's live music. It doesn't have to be always like big concerts, but those types of things. So for me, myself, that I found over time, where I'm kind of ideally happy is I have two places. I have one in a city where I love, but then I get overwhelmed sometimes after a few months of being there. And I'm just like, there's so many people, there's so much noise, there's so much traffic. Like, I just want to get away. And then I have another place that's in a small town. It's kind of in the mountains by the sea. And I love it and I enjoy it and I relax. And then after usually a couple of months, I'm like, okay, I'm bored. There's nothing going on. It's boring here. So then I go back to the city. And for me, that works well because I know myself and I know I love having both.
Mm-hmm. I think some of our listeners are here thinking, okay, but I married someone from another country, or I'm now dating someone from another country. That's another huge dynamic that happens. And of course, then sometimes breakups and the international kids split up. But the heartbreak, relationships are tough as it is, even on the best of times. But then throw in the multicultural aspect, the language, the class. You know, they could be from a higher class in a different culture than you grew up in, and then throw in the dynamics of the culture of that higher caste class system. So many of us in this international lifestyle end up with relationships that are cross-cultural, whether temporary or long-term, and that takes its emotional toll, which back to the counseling, the telehealth, that includes well-being, finding that, taking advantage of it. This is, and again, it's one of those things where you hear things from folks back wherever home may have once been. Like, why are you dating? Why are you marrying? Why are you divorcing, etc.? That person,
right?
You know, or why are you moving to his country, her country, etc.? And it happens more often than not. And whether it's 90 Day Fiance, which some of us have seen on,
I don't watch
wild.
TV. Yeah,
right. You're smart. I've watched a couple, thinking, why am I watching this? You know, it's just.
I just think even just the thought of that is absurd. I mean, something in 90 days, you just, how well do you even know yourself? Like,
you don't.
We've lived with ourselves. I lived with myself my entire life. And sometimes, we surprise ourselves when we really think about what we want, what we need, what we like. Because a lot of times we have that outside influence, whether it is the news, the media, the TV, the parents, the friends, things like that. And I've always said to people, and it's not easy, but if we truly want, like, we have to truly kind of know what we want. That's first of all, know what we want, know ourselves, know what we want. And then if we're going to be asking advice, we need to be, it's one thing to vent and to talk about things, but if we want true advice, we need to be talking to somebody who has the lifestyle that we desire. And with lifestyle, I don't mean just like where we live, but I mean same values, same beliefs, same things that we want. Because the way that I see it is, if I take advice from one of my brothers, and they live fairly different lifestyles, but if I take advice from one, my path is going to go towards the way that person lives. If I take advice from the other, then I would lean and go, my life would tend to lean more towards the path of that other person. So we really need to be careful of who we're not just talking to, but who we're really taking advice from and listening to, because we can say, oh, I'll talk to that person, but whatever they say, I don't care. But it's already planted the seed in the brain.
Right.
It's already in there, and you can pretend to ignore it, but the seed is already in there. So we need to be careful with what we put out, just as well as what we intake.
What we allow in. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The toxins we allow in, whether it's the invisible ones of the words, the foods, the drinks, the substances, and the behavioral elements. I think our worst habits become magnified outside of our original routines.
Right.
And addictions we didn't realize we had are now obvious. When we can't get that strange drink called Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew or bitter lemon or whatever, you know, drink you're accustomed to, your body's used to that chemical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or the MSG that you usually get every Tuesday at the particular restaurant, you know, that all of a sudden you're getting in a foreign country. And you're not juicing because you don't have that blender that you had back home. You don't have the supplement that was keeping you
and
functioning
that's
well.
A big one with supplements and things.
Yes.
Very different moving abroad.
Yes. Or, you know, because you don't go to an annual checkup as often. You don't have the right medication that your body was used to, whether it's hormone or, you know, a guy with, you know, chemical balance happens all the time too. So it's, or adrenal fatigue, different things that one supplement could be keeping you on the right path that you don't have access to in the new country. This is so good. It's triggering things that I need to correct as I hear them. Habits are one of the biggest things, I think, whether it's a habit of getting up earlier than normal and reading that may be thrown off in a new place.
Yeah. And it starts of, oh, it's just okay. I'll get back into it once I get into my routine. Mm. Once I get settled in, once I,
right,
whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden days turn into weeks that turn into months and it's gone. But there are, on the flip side, some of the opposites where we do start new routines. We do wake up sooner. Maybe we do exercise more often because the weather's nice and we can be outside more, as opposed to not necessarily being in a cold climate and having to go to a gym where we can do more. Or like Barcelona, it's such a walkable city. I walk everywhere in Barcelona. When I come back to Canada, it's back to driving everywhere because it's not as walkable and where I'm staying isn't close to the center and things like that. So there are, you know, it's can be kind of that double-edged sword. There's some great things that we can benefit, but we also need to be aware of the other potential things that we need to prepare for.
So true. Good points.
All right. So I don't want people to think, oh, it's all just bad things moving abroad. No, actually, it's great. It's
oh,
wonderful.
No. So many good things.
There's so many good things. But
yes.
It is, as we said earlier, I want people to, you know, we don't know what we don't know. Right? And sometimes we just don't think about things because, as we said, some things are such habit. We just don't even think about the habit because it's such a habit.
You know, whether we're in a surrounding we've been in a comfortable country to us, we may not have the people in our lives that actually point out the things that we should change. You may actually make some friends from another culture that will point out the things. There's some, you know, I think of people from different cultures that will communicate differently.
Yes.
That I value so much because, you know, they're not as inhibited.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say what's on their mind. That presents room for growth.
Mm-hmm. Because they'll just, they don't see things as being rude. Mm-hmm. It's just matter of fact. Like, yes. I had a friend of mine one time say to me, I was out and I was just going for a walk and we kind of ran into each other and said, you know, part of it was, I think, a little bit lost in translation. English was not his first language. But he looked and he's like, oh, are you tired today? And I said, no, I'm doing good. And he's like, your face doesn't look good. I'm like,
right.
I'm like, my face looks bad. What's wrong with my face? It looks like this, right? And he's just like, no, it just, you, maybe you're tired or something. It just doesn't look, it just, your face looks bad. I'm like,
Right. My
okay.
wife was told often in a season, oh, you're looking good, you're gaining weight, you're getting fat. And in that culture where there wasn't the plenty of food, being overweight was actually a very positive thing.
Right.
Gaining weight and being overweight, having an excess, was a sign of wealth and good. So for someone to walk up and tell you, oh, you're getting fat, you're looking, you know, you're
Looking
gaining
good, and we're
weight.
like, what?
Right. So it does. It you've got to be strong because you're speaking like an infant at times.
Yes.
Your understanding may not be as more than a toddler.
Right. That's right. With learning languages, it's hard and it takes time. And so it's one of those things that are tough to adjust to, but are good in
So
the long
valuable.
term.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is. And so you've traveled around a lot. Right now you are living in the United States again?
Yes, I'm more of a slow mad at this point.
Okay, yeah.
Closer to kids in university right now, which is kind of nice. They can come to a home base that they love, and you know, get to spend time this month in Europe and next month in South America a bit more, working from there. But it's we dream thinking, okay, where's the next relocation, or is it going to be more of a work from places and come to this base more frequently? We've taken on different forms of this lifestyle. So right now I do live vicariously through a lot of people and take virtual flights through Zoom and Teams and WhatsApp during the day.
And that's the great thing about how kind of the world is right now. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm moving abroad, I'm going to be full time, and this is the one place where I live. It could be sort of a little bit more like me, where I generally split between two places and still travel quite a bit in between those. Or you have your base, and it could be your home country. And maybe, as a lot of Canadians are snowbirds, so during winter they leave, they go down to either part of the United States or Mexico, or other places where it's warm, or having that base and being there just so many months out of the year, but traveling and being, as you're doing, in Europe for a while, and then down to South America, or who knows, maybe to Asia for a few months and things. So there's so many ways to have a global lifestyle, that it's not just one place, that's it, and be gone. And I know some people that love to get out of North America but don't want to be too far away. They have kids that are maybe into the university, they want to be close, or aging parents, and so they want to be within so many hours of a flight from their home cities, a direct flight. And so there's just so many opportunities.
There truly are. We're all unique. Our opportunities are unique. We're privileged to be in an age. Some people are. You know, we can't generalize, but some people are in an age where we can make choices, but we have to think beyond ourselves, those that we're leaving behind, and think that we may need to return home to care for someone. We may need to have that extra budget to come celebrate or grieve with someone in our life that if we don't think ahead, the funds may not be there. We
That
need
is
to maintain those
very true.
Relationships. We need to be there for them. We're not just leaving everything behind and pursuing our own happiness. People matter, relationships, that community matters, even those that we leave behind. We may need that last minute flight to be there for someone else.
And for, you know, it I want even to say it's not we may need, we will need, but we just don't know when, or we don't know how many times, right? It may be, I'll call it a close call, and we end flying back home and things all work out good and great, we leave, but there's more than one person, there's more than one thing that could happen. And I mean, things happen, accidents happen. You know, we eventually, like, not to sound bad, but eventually we're all going to die. We just don't know when it will be. So everybody that you know back home, who you know now, at one point, and it could be next week, next month, 10 years from now, 30 years from now, we don't know, but those things will happen.
Yes, and, you know, I come from an insurance and risk management background as a professional there, and most of you with travel insurance or international health insurance, there's a benefit that says, we'll fly someone to your bedside. So if you're hospitalized, a lot of people don't know that that's a line in your policy that says someone from back home in your home country can go be with you.
I had no idea.
So maintain those relationships. Yeah, it's almost in any travel or international health insurance policy. It'll pay for their flight and accommodations while they're with you. And so know who that person's going to be. In case something happens to you, it's not just you flying home because you need to be there for somebody else, but someone needs to be on call to care for you if you're living this lifestyle and all of a sudden you find that you've fallen down the stairs and you can't get up. You're stuck in a hospital bed for a week. You have that benefit. It's baked in.
It's interesting because, for one, I had no idea. And when I recently got my place in Montenegro, of course, I moved there. I don't know a soul. I don't speak Montenegrin, but thankfully most people speak English. And I thought of that one time, just a few months after I got there. And I thought, maybe it was about a year after I first was there. And I just thought, what if I was going out and I just fell down the stairs? Like, I tripped, because sometimes I'm clumsy, and I tripped and fell down the stairs and I broke my leg. So nothing, you know, life threatening, but even I just thought, what would I do when I broke my leg? Okay, fine. I could, you know, get to the hospital. I could, you know, I can call somebody, but it's that I can't, you know, depending on how bad it is, how long am I in the hospital? What about buying groceries for the next, you know, several weeks? And I thought, what would I do? Because I, at that point, I don't know anybody well enough that I could say, like, I had a few acquaintances, but, and I, that, then at that point, I really got thinking, maybe I do need to just settle down a little bit more in one place, have a bit more community instead of traveling as much. But it's very good to know, and for everybody to know and to check their policies.
Right. And if the company you're with has chat, you know, on their website, go and chat with them, ask them, you know, just if this were to happen, you know, is this included? And if you're out shopping, see if it is. Sure, you think, oh, I'm never going to get ill or injured. But, you know, a lot of companies even include the telemedicine. So that I mentioned earlier, we're back to the community. Like, if you, who would buy you groceries if you couldn't walk to the grocery store?
Right.
Finding that, whether it's congregation or chess club or something, to where you're actually, you know, that, make a habit of going to one coffee shop every Tuesday. And if the owner knows that if you're not there on Tuesdays, send somebody. I know it sounds silly, but you don't have that network in that home country. You've got to be so intentional and share your itinerary. How many people back home actually know how to get in touch with somebody else besides you where you're staying?
Yeah, I got to work on that one.
You know, did, like, you even leave power of attorney with someone?
My friends, often my friends will message me like, where in the world are you? Where are you right now?
Yes. So leaving power of attorney, leaving a copy of your will, having a will.
I do.
Leaving a copy of your passport with somebody that's not traveling with you. Leaving a copy of your insurance with someone who's not traveling with you. It's some of these things I haven't thought of in the past, but I have this list of things now. Okay.
One thing that we had talked about, me and a group of friends. So in Barcelona, I would go to co-working, and it was through like a meetup group. And a bunch of us, we really got to know each other because we were there twice a week all the time. And a lot of us were traveling still quite a bit, some more than others. And we got talking, and we decided, and we talked about it, but we never actually followed through, that somebody else should always have a key to our home. For various reasons, we lose our key, somebody needs to get in, we're gone, something happens. So we should always have somebody who has a key to our home, and we have a list of contact people on like an Excel spreadsheet that our family has with our friends' numbers, and our friends have to contact a family or friend at home. So it's, you know, a benefit for both those who are around us and our home. So then if something happened to me, like I fell, hit my head, I'm unconscious in my place in I'll use Montenegro because it's I'm there the least amount of time. It could be weeks before somebody would find me. Like I have some friends that message, like I have a friend of mine at a minimal every weekend. Hey, Sally, how are you? Have a great weekend. Like that's minimal. We usually chat WhatsApp during the week. But if it is like not till the weekend, then it's been however many days and then I don't respond, you know, we give each other, you wait a couple of days, you message again, you know, that kind of thing. We don't want to bother each other. But then how often does it go before it's like something's wrong? I haven't heard until, and it could be literally, it could be a week or more.
Right.
So...
So yeah. This good points you made there, Sally.
Yeah. And it is something like, as you said earlier, we always think nothing's going to happen, but I mean, it's things do happen, and it doesn't always have to be something terribly bad, but even still just falling and breaking a leg, falling and breaking an arm. You know, it's, and we need to know and have people know where we're at.
Right. For those who haven't watched some or read about blue zones, that's, you know, where people live over 100.
Yeah.
It's not, the component is not necessarily in their diet, what they eat. It's the community aspect that gives them a long life. It's the rituals, the habits, and the people that they have in their life. So if we don't have it before we relocate, and that intentionality around it, we can't necessarily build it somewhere else, especially if we're not thinking, okay, let's have long-term.
Right.
And I know this lifestyle, some folks are thinking, okay, I'm experimenting with different cultures. I'm trying to find that place where I one day want to call home.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But keep it in mind that, okay, when I get there, I've got to find everything and build it.
Right.
And be so intentional about building that so that.
Mm-hmm. And even if you know you're only going to be, let's say, a year, you can still build community and be a year and know. And as you said earlier, you know, to still keep in touch with people at home, because that's still part of the community. I come back to Canada every year and I still have a few friends that I've known for, gosh, over 20 years. And, you know, I talk with them when I'm gone. I see them when I come back, and I'm still part of that community, even though I'm not living here. And so it's still important to have, while we're searching for whatever that next place may be. And even if we're trying out a few different places, but that's also a thing that will help us stay there or realize it's not a place for us. Is what type of community can we build and be there, because it is very important.
This global life is so worth it, but it takes intentionality. As you brought up some things, Sally, that we all need to be doing. It takes building a good foundation and then maintaining it, continuously working on ourselves. And I think with the guests that you bring into this show, this is something that I think everyone should subscribe and keep watching, because there's the nuggets that are said are part of that foundation and part of that constant maintenance for living this global life. thank you for having me on today. It's been such a pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. And I mean, it's good because every person has a different experience, right? And when we talk, or I even know after I get off some of the shows, sometimes I'm like, oh, I should have said this, or oh, I wished I would have mentioned that. Because through conversation, we think about different things or different experiences that we have. And to be honest, I mean, depending upon how you're moving, if you're moving for work and stuff, or you have kids, it's a little bit easier to start making those connections. If you're moving by yourself, you work from home, it is a little bit harder to start building that community and making friends and getting to know people. So as adults, we do have to put in more effort than we did at making friends as kids.
Absolutely. Spot on.
And so, Andrew, I know like you've traveled around a lot. This has been great. And we know that community is super important, and keeping ourselves healthy in many ways, physically, mentally. So what are you doing now that helps all of our global citizens?
Well, my day-to-day work is the biggest thing. I'm CEO of Insured Nomads. We're a travel tech, insurtech provider of international health insurance, travel insurance, and assistance plans for those even without insurance. So whether that's our legal guardian, which is international legal assistance for those either new immigrants or those on shorter travels. So my passion, I like the Robin Hood. You know, it's the thing of let's protect those who need it. Let's fight for fixing the inefficiencies, making things easier. And that takes re-envisioning how things can be done in a typically tech apathetic space to truly help people. And so that's my summary response to your question. Thank you.
All right. Well, and I mean, it's important. It's unfortunate that we don't think about those things until something happens, or we think, oh, I'm still really young, or I'm still really healthy. And I've had those thoughts too, until one time, I was in Barcelona living there, and it was at one of the co-working things. A friend came in and she said to everyone, she's like, do you have insurance? Do you have health insurance? Do you have health? And I'm thinking, why are you asking everybody this? And her friend, who was young in her early 30s, had a brain aneurysm. Completely unexpected, and she didn't have insurance. And she was somewhere in Asia. I don't remember exactly what country, so I don't want to be guessing and things. And obviously they wanted to airlift her somewhere else, but she didn't have insurance, and it became this whole big issue and deal. And so she, you know, through that horrible experience, she was on everybody for a very long time to make sure, like those of us, when we have residency, of course, then we have insurance while we're in Spain. But as we're traveling and going places, like she was very adamant and very much on it. And she said, I know it might not ever happen, but my friend never thought anything would happen. And that's the thing about insurance. It's important because we just never know. And it could be through no fault of our own, something could happen to us. Yes. Somebody else did something. Somebody hit us with their car or whatever it may be.
It's the transfer of risk. No one wants to see a friend have to do a GoFundMe to say, you know, get me home. I can't afford the plane ticket to get home to recover around my safety network. Or I can't afford the surgery now that, you know, I've been, or I can't, the treatment now that I've been diagnosed with a tumor and, or whatever. It's just, we sure don't want to have to experience it ourselves.
Right.
So, right. It's that transfer of risk. Some of us
so
have,
everybody
can,
who's
don't
listening.
Need to. Yes.
Well, and so for everybody who's listening, Andrew, how do they get in touch with you to make sure that they have the coverage that they need, they can access the things that that they need to or want to access?
I would say go to insurednomads.com or on your social networks, if you still use social media,
Well, it depends on where they're at. Every country's a little bit different with what social media they use.
Right. But insurednomads.com is the easiest. And we welcome your questions. Sometimes it's a thing of no, this is best. This other option could be better for you. But thank you. This has been such a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And I'll make sure to put that link in the show notes, Andrew. And I just want to say thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I got valuable information. I know there's some things that I need to do and to take care of. So I know for sure the listeners got some valuable information as well. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Until next time, thank you, Sally.